WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. My guest, Campbell Scott, is starring in David Mamet's new film, The Spanish Prisoner. Scott, who is the son of George C. Scott and Colleen Dewhurst, has been acting in movies since 1988. He's best known for his roles in Longtime Companion, Dying Young, Singles, The Day Trippers, and Big Night, which he also co-directed and co-produced with Stanley Tucci. In The Spanish Prisoner, Scott plays Joe Ross, a naive inventor who becomes the mark in an elaborate con game. He's invented a top-secret formula known as the process. His boss believes it will make a fortune for the company, but Ross suspects he might be cut out of the profits, and that suspicion is deepened when he meets a mysterious businessman played by Steve Martin. Soon Ross has no idea who are his friends and who's trying to set him up. Here he is with his boss, played by Ben Gazzara. They're at a Caribbean resort to attend a stockholders meeting.
Mr. Klein, if I might, they were kind enough to mention the stockholders meeting, but if we could discuss the exact terms of...
Of your...
Of my bonus as my participation in...
Joe, this thing goes, there's going to be more than enough to go around. Are you kidding? You did good in there. I'm not going to forget it.
Thank
Neither
you,
are they.
Thank you, but my exact question is...
How much? Well, I'm in the same position as you. Eh? They keep me in the dark, too. Yes, they do. Need a couple of bucks for your rent?
For my rent? I can't say that I do, sir, no, but...
Joe, I'll tell you what. Frankly, I'm here to enjoy myself. And that's why we brought you fellas down. Give you a little perk. Now, you want to talk business? New York, my office. Anytime. And, Joe, why don't you buy yourself some new clothes? Give yourself a holiday.
Campbell Scott, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you for having me.
Your character in The Spanish Prisoner is an easy mark. And I'm wondering if you had to find anything in this character that makes him an easy mark for the cons.
I think that it's funny. We were just discussing this yesterday. Someone has thrown about this quote that you really can't con someone who doesn't want to be conned or doesn't have a little bit of the con man in himself. I think that it certainly is David's intention, and I go along with it, that he not seem completely innocent, that in fact the reason he is a mark eventually for these people is that he's, you know, does what he does well, and he also wants something. You know, he desires something badly. And desires it enough so that he becomes engaged with a number of people more than just with his common sense, but with his emotions, and you know that's what gets him into trouble.
What does he want?
I think he wants to be recognized for his for his hard work. There's no doubt that the world he lives in is a small one. But in a strange way, I think, like a lot of people, writers, for example, you know, they spend a lot of time in rooms alone working very hard on something, but it never quite seems real until someone either accepts it or gives you some praise or financial restitution or, is that the right word, appraisal of it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what makes you feel alive in some way. So he's not a man who has a lot of friends or a lot of or a lady that he loves or anything like that. So he has been working hard, but he also is aware enough to try to be recognized for it.
Some directors like to keep their actors a little bit in the dark so that the actor doesn't really know what his character's fate is until he gets to that scene in the movie. And since there are so many kind of odd plot twists in this movie and so many little conspiracies that your character is prey to, I'm wondering if Mamet kept you in the dark about any of it or if you had the whole script that you were able to read before starting to shoot.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't take a job if I couldn't read the script. There are some directors who will only give you little bits. I've never worked for them, but I have a big thing about, you know, actors being treated as colleagues and all that. And David was very much, you know, he's an old theater man, and he, you basically, everybody reads the script and talks about it for a little while, and then you shoot it. It's very no-nonsense.
Is your attitude, I'm an actor, I'm a professional, I can handle knowing what happens to my character?
Well, you know, like I say, this is a thing with me, because I've been sort of on both sides of the camera now and both sides of the stage, but mostly an actor. And I do, I have hidden resentment about the way most actors are treated and then the way they behave then in response to that, I think, but you know, often either like children or like gods, which are both ridiculous ways to treat them. I think.
Now, have you ever been conned? Did you have a direct knowledge with what it's like to be the victim of a con?
I've never been financially conned. I think, yeah, we've all been conned in some way. Certainly, I think that's part of the reason that people will hopefully be attracted, seduced by the movie. I certainly have been conned in. You know, in relationships with other people, been made to think one thing when in fact that, you know, the opposite was the truth or whatever, and then of course you always feel you feel horrible. I think that's hopefully part of the attraction of the movie, is that, you know, it's very safe to sit there in the dark and watch other people get screwed, and it kind of makes you happy to watch it, you know, and nobody really gets hurt. But in real life, people obviously get very hurt.
One of your co-stars in this movie is Ricky Jay, who is a kind of master of the con game, a historian of con games. Did he give you any insights into setups like this?
He and David are always obsessing about how to, you know, what to show and how much to show, because that's what it's all about. You know, that's how you draw people in and then pull the rug out from underneath them. They're both fascinated with how to do that, whether it's, you know, magic, illusions, filmmaking. It's all kind of the same thing for them. And Steve Martin, who is also in the movie, is actually quite a very good amateur magician. And he and Ricky are, you know, they're always whispering, these people. And eventually you begin to just take it for granted that something's going on that you might not completely know the full truth about. You know?
Campbell Scott is my guest, and he's starring in the new movie The Spanish Prisoner, which is written and directed by David Mamet. Campbell Scott, I want to ask you about another recent role. This is a small part, but I thought you were just terrific in it. And the movie was The Day Trippers. And you play an author in it who's, you know, one of these literary guys who's very self-absorbed, very kind of narcissistic.
Oh, really? You thought so, Terry?
Yeah, yes.
And I didn't find him self-absorbed at all. I'm joking.
Yes, I know. And this character really knows how to kind of flatter women into being able to hit on them.
I don't know. Did you think so? I guess so. I don't know.
I thought you nailed this character so perfectly. I'd like you to just describe the character a little bit.
You know, you tend to nail the characters that are completely unlike you. So when you say that, I say, yeah, that must be true, because, you know, I could never even approach women. I've been married now for 15 years, so I don't have the opportunity and don't want it, but I tell you, it's so much easier when you just have to do it from, you know, from observation. And I read that script, which is written, the movie written and directed by Greg Mottola, who's really a friend and quite a talent to watch, I think. Yeah, I mean, as soon as I read that part, we when he originally gave it to me, we had talked about me playing some other roles and stuff like that, and I was one of the producers on the film just because I loved it so much and I liked him. And he said, you know, who do you want to play? And I said, I want to play this guy, the kind of sleazy guy who does nothing but hit on women, but in a kind of a faux intellectual, I'm a writer kind of way.
Right.
You know? For some reason, I don't know, I just sort of got it. Or I certainly understood it just from what he wrote. And, you know, my whole thing is, if the writing's good, it's easy.
I'm wondering if this is the kind of guy who you've observed.
I don't really know if I, you know, I'm sure I have. I hope I'm not just imitating other movies, but I couldn't pick anyone out, frankly. I, you know, there are people you meet, obviously, who seem both confident and also You know, there is an amount of self-absorption that makes it possible for them to be that confident, because if they fail or get hurt or don't or get rejected, they just move on. You know, it doesn't tend to stifle them for the next go round, and for some reason that tends to appeal to a lot of women too.
Campbell Scott, another recent film of yours, Big Night, is a movie that you teamed up with Stanley Tucci to make. You co-directed the film together. He co-wrote it with an old friend of his, and you also had a small part in the movie as a Cadillac salesman. Now, I understand you and Stanley Tucci were high school friends. How did you decide to make a movie together?
Well, Stan actually wrote it with his cousin, Joe Tropiano. They had worked on it for years and years and years, and Stan and I have known each other since we were 14. We both grew up outside of New York City together, and eventually became actors. And we would always call each other and say, "We got to make a movie. We got to make a movie. We're so sick of working on other people's stuff." And anyway, he wrote this beautiful script, and I loved it. And he was, I think, certainly smart enough to recognize that he definitely wanted to play the lead, but that doing that and directing might hinder the movie in some way, so be too much to bite off. And so I said, I'll be the advisor, I'll watch, I'll do anything. He said, why don't you co-direct it? So that's how it started. And after that, basically, he and I and Joe, operated as a trio. I mean, we discussed everything, and the sensibility was already in the script.
You have strong feelings about how directors talk to actors. When you're directing, what do you want your approach to be in directing actors?
Oh, I'm a complete tyrant. Having said that, actually, it's kind of funny because, Stanley and I, when we were getting ready to do Big Night, we talk about it for a long time. We'd say, oh, this is going to be so great. We're finally going to be able to create the atmosphere that we really want on a set and treat everyone like colleagues and equals and speak to the actors as they should be spoken to, like artists and people who are creating along with us the whole time, and it'll be so great. And of course, within a week we were like, turn your head to the left, don't do that, laugh on the stage, get off screen. We got hysterical, but there is a point to that, actually. I think the reason we eventually got to doing that sometimes is because there was a great amount of trust, and a lot of the people in the film were our friends already. Isabella Rossellini and Tony Shalhoub, these are people that we already knew, and so there's already a love and a trust there, and of course you really can cut right through it and say whatever you want. And that's the way I prefer it. I think all directors, you need to have a strong hand, without a doubt. The best directors in the world, I think, are the ones who are able to, are balancers. They're able to maintain quite an extraordinary and definitive vision, even if they really don't know what they want, which nobody does until they see it before them. But at the same time, be incredibly encouraging and flexible to all of the people around you. That's a tall order, but that's the struggle that should be attempted.
My guest is actor Campbell Scott. He's starring in the new film, The Spanish Prisoner. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Campbell Scott is my guest, and he's starring in the new movie, The Spanish Prisoner, which was written and directed by David Mamet. Now, you are the son of two well-known actors, George C. Scott and Colleen Dewhurst. Did you expect to be an actor yourself when you were young? Is that something that you actually wanted for yourself?
No, it wasn't even considered, really. My parents were the kind of people who were very professional. They would disappear at night for a few hours. We hardly knew where they went, and then they'd reappear, and at 12 midnight, and we'd think, "Gee, I wonder where they went." And eventually, we figured out they were just going to the theater, but. But it was neither. It was something neither my brother nor I thought about at all. It just didn't. It didn't strike us. And then when I finally went to college, I went to college to be a teacher, and that's when I did a couple of plays, and I immediately fell in love with it.
What kind of teacher did you plan on being?
A history teacher, which of course means I have no idea what I want to do. Except that I like those historical figures, you know, and I really just want to drink at college, you know. I mean, who knows what they want when they go. But you write down. I was fascinated with history. Actually, you know, I'm sure that that's part of what, you know, the same kinds of things that made me want to be a teacher and a history teacher were the same things that, you know, you get up in front of a group of people and you basically talk about or create characters in their heads and stories. That's what always fascinated me. I was a big reader. And I mean, the thought of performing, if you had known me back then, would have been absolutely ludicrous. I was completely, a reserved individual.
Very inhibited?
I wouldn't say inhibited. I was just incredibly quiet and had no desire at all to speak to any more than one person at a time, if that. You know, I just preferred sort of wandering around.
Now, how did you first become aware of your parents as actors? What were the first, say, movie roles that you saw your mother and father in that made a big impression on you?
Yeah, it's funny. Most of the early part of my life, probably till I was in my very early teens, 13 or so, my parents were theater actors. They really were known just in New York for mostly. So we would go to the theater sometimes, and we knew what was going on, but it wasn't a big hullabaloo. And then in 1970, my dad did Patton, and obviously that was a big deal. So, but shortly after that, they were divorced anyway, and he kind of disappeared and went off to another marriage. So that was felt more just in, I'm sure, just, you know, in the high school hallways in some way from my brother and I. But we managed to just try to bypass it all, I'm sure.
Having grown up the son of actors, what were some of the things you had seen in the acting world that you didn't want to do? In other words, mistakes that you had seen other actors make or ego problems you'd seen other actors have.
I think it's more of just it's anything that takes you away from the work at hand. I mean, both of my parents and I don't think it's, you know, I don't like it when people say or think that it's exclusive to theater, but I do think it is more prevalent, certainly in my parents' generation, from actors who were from the theater, because there's a certain amount of endurance required and equality between amount of work and amount of money that you're paid, so that it keeps you, you know, it keeps you focused on the correct things. Obviously, you know where I'm leading. You know, people do get paid a lot of money to be in movies often. Sometimes it's a ludicrous amounts for work that is challenging and difficult sometimes, things that you have to endure and all that. But, you know, it ain't digging ditches, you know. A healthy respect for that is something that will always keep you, centered on the right thing, because it will hurt you ultimately. It's not about me saying, oh, you know, this is there's only one pure way of you know, being an actor and all that. You know, that I don't believe that. Everybody's different and everybody has different things they want, and you know, there's a part of the seductive part of this business that's great. It's fabulous, you know, people take your pictures and everybody says you're great. Yeah. I mean part of that is fun, but you have to take it with a serious grain of salt and keeping your mind on what's important, because that's what will give you a real life. And if you don't have a real life, how can you be an actor?
I have one last question for you. Usually when an actor is mentioned, say, in a press kit or in a cast list, they're identified with their most famous movie. So, and that movie's in parentheses. So your parentheses movie is like Campbell Scott parentheses Dying Young.
Oh,
that's
genius.
Always the movie that's used in parentheses when your name is mentioned. In
yes, something. Why do you think that is, Terry?
Well, I was going to ask you, is that the parentheses movie of your choice, or would you like to be most identified with a different film?
No, I don't want any parentheses movie. I don't want to be identified with any film. I think it's deadly. You know, hopefully anybody who has any kind of knowledge of what I do or am trying to do, they can see that I'm trying not to have a parentile movie at all. Often it's funny. I was talking to Harris Du, who's one of the guys who is working on publicity for Spanish Prisoner, and we were discussing one day in the car how I'm seen in this business, which always is endlessly fascinating to me because I do have a rather, you know, people I think don't quite know how to take me, and the older I get, the more I consider that a compliment, because oftentimes people say, well, yeah, he's a good actor, but who is he? I mean, you never see him really, but he seems to be in movies. And to me, that's the greatest compliment of all, because it means I'm working. I leave some kind of impression, and yet, hopefully, the next time I'm working, people will say, who is that? Is that, you know? And I get the same thing on the street. You know, I'm very, very lucky that way. People not often, but when they do come up to me, they say, the first thing they often say is, did I go to high school with you? Or, you know, they don't know where they know me from. And I immediately consider that a compliment. And then, of course, I immediately start to torture them and say, what high school was it? You know,
that's right.
For a while. And then I say no, but...
Right.
Yeah. So hopefully I have no parentile. Obviously, Dying Young is my parentile, I think, on the resume, because people think it's, you know, the biggest deal I was ever in because Julia was in it and all that. But I had a very limited foray into Hollywood. So,
well, Campbell Scott, I want to thank you so much.
Thank you very much. It was my pleasure.
Campbell Scott is starring in the new film The Spanish Prisoner. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.